May I make a suggestion, please?
Yeah, go for it.
Since we're all in this meeting considered equals, and to keep everyone from talking over top of each other, can I suggest that maybe we form a circle around the ring of the Admiral's Bridge here, and we speak in order of that circle? That way everyone will have a chance to speak. If they choose to.
Unfortunately, he can't invite this many people to his bridge.
Yeah.
But we can use TeamSpeak as the from the bottom up, if you want to do it that way.
That works.
Well, I think ideas are going to be out there, and they're going to be going pretty much everywhere. If you can see TeamSpeak, if you see a blue light lighting up, hold off for a sec. If you see it go off, then start see what you can do. We're gonna talk over each other. It's gonna happen.
All right, let me officially start this meeting, okay?
Go for it.
All right, I want to thank all you guys for coming. The past year, considering everything, the 106th Fleet has had an awesome year. We've met a variety of people and learned many things from Star Trek Online. We have many dedicated members who are here for the long haul. Names are not needed at this point, as it's obvious who's here. The 106th Fleet is resilient, just like the shields inside of Star Trek. We absorb a lot, and we let some things pass right through us. This enables us to be versatile and an effective fleet to bring entertainment, fun, and enjoyment to everyone who's a member. During this troubled time, it is now more important than ever to lean on one another. It's time to pick up the pieces, find where we can change, and move forward with the knowledge learned. It will require all of us to do this, not just myself, Omega, or Wraith. However, change is not going to come easy, quick, or overnight. It will take baby steps forward. Too much, too fast would also not be good. I appreciate the attendance tonight. It shows the willingness and the wantingness to move forward to make the fleet a better place for all who are still here and for those that wish to join us in the future. Together we can do this. During this time, I ask that you turn a blind eye to those that wish to harm us, flame, or troll us. The more we fuel it, the more their fire will burn. It will also allow ourselves to put our own selves in the negative light. God willing, and Godspeed to the 106th Fleet.
Omega?
Omega, did you have something to start out with? Officially start the meeting?
Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely thank everyone for coming here tonight. Really not exactly sure where to start. The best thing I can really say to start from where we began. We began this fleet over a year ago. Actually, I should say Jeremy did. He found me just kind of running around, being a dork on DS9, using my cover shield to trap people inside rooms. I was being a nuisance. When him and I came together, he already had a fleet with a bunch of members going along. We kind of became brothers from that point. Played with each other. We flew around in sector space a lot, did a lot of missions. We worked together to try to form a fleet. And in starting to form this fleet, we came together with an idea, a purpose, and intention for an overall direction. This was meant to be good for a positive purpose, a way to bring one thing together, people, everyone that's come here tonight, everyone else who wasn't able to. With these people, we were able to create an atmosphere. In this atmosphere, we built squads, groups, wings, all with different in-game purposes to create activity and build a vibe for players, keep interest and activities going with STO. We even built an office meant for a fair disputing process for when things got tough and there were disagreements. More importantly, we built bonds, friendships, maybe even relationships. We became a family. Like a lot of families, members have to leave the nest. For a lot of potential reasons, good or bad. Sometimes they even divide. I know that when this happens, it hurts. I feel it too. I don't like the feeling of knowing that I lost 30 officers. Who knows, maybe I looked over something. Maybe I made a mistake. I'll accept that. I do know this, and when things get hard, tough, and difficult, families have always done the things they've done best. They've pulled together, as everyone has done here for me tonight. As long as I have a family support, I will continue working for you, everybody here and everyone who wasn't able to make it. I guess all I can really do is ask for y'all's faith and trust that my intentions, and the same as where I stand for Animal Jeremy's intentions, mean the best for everyone here, and ask for y'all's help in doing what everyone here has done their best to make 106 the best fleet, the best family, the best society, the best place for people to come together in STO.
Is that it, Omega?
Yeah, just a sec.
Thondra, did you have anything? Did we lose connection?
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
I'm still here as well.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm here too.
We may have lost Sandra.
I do not see her.
She just posted. For those of you that don't know her, Sandra is one of the most respected members of this fleet. And I suggest you sit back and look at what she types.
Or else.
Here, here.
That's well said, Sandra. Thank you, Sandra. For those following along in the audio, I will post, this will all be posted for what's being typed for those that don't have a mic. All right, Seldrin. Battlegroup Atlantis is the new splinter fleet. Thanks for joining us, Randy.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry I'm late. Couldn't be helped.
It's all right. Seldrin is giving a speech right now down in the officer's lounge text.
All right.
And just so you know, this is all being recorded.
So teams being told me.
What's that?
I was saying, can somebody relay what is being typed? Because that's like a separate conversation that exists on the same channel.
I can barely hear you. Let me turn up your volume. Okay, try it now.
I was saying, can someone relay what is being typed? Because that's like a separate conversation that exists on the same channel. Some reason I can't even see it on TeamSpeak.
Click your officer tab. There's a 106 fleet tab at the bottom, and the officer's lounge number one. Make sure you're in officer's lounge number one.
Okay.
But there's some good wind noise in your mic and a lot of bass, so I don't know what that's all about. I had to turn you up, and I still couldn't hardly hear you. Hey, Martin. Welcome to the meeting.
Hey, guys.
We've officially started it. Jeeves is giving a speech at this point. He can't talk on the mics, but he's doing it down in your officer's lounge number one tab.
Okay.
Sandra's just notified me we have one more spot left for TeamSpeak. So if we hit that, let me know so I can go ahead and head to the server and bump it up. Oh, we've got three more spots, Sandra. Two of those spots of the 22 that are online are me and Omega, which are the reserve spots. Thank you, Seldrin. All right, I'm going to end with Professor Moriarty, and then at the end of the meeting, if we have an end, we'll let some more share their personal speeches like we've been doing. Professor, you're up, and then we'll move into the general discussion.
I looked down this list of names, and I recognize about 90% of you guys. There's a few that I don't. I assume that you're either new or you play in a different time slot than I do. So for those of you that don't know, hi. I am Professor Moriarty, captain of the PvP wing. I logged on Monday and got freaking ambushed. I didn't see this coming. My whole second squad left. People I trained and trusted left. Never said a word to me. It just absolutely ripped my heart out. I can't express to you how much it hurt. I even thought about leaving for a while until I realized that people I trusted didn't trust me. And out of all of the people that left, not a single one of them mentioned to me that this was even happening, that it was even thought of. And it just ripped me to pieces. This whole week, I've been so emotional that I've been on and off and hadn't been... Here, I go getting emotional again. Hang on a second. I do believe that there are changes that need to be made in the fleet. We always need to remember that this is a game, and we're all here to enjoy ourselves, to relax and have fun. And that is the number one priority of this whole thing. As long as we remember that, we should be able to get along. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional again, and I'm just going to have to stop right here. But there is one other thing I'd like to say. Two nights ago, I had the chance to be in TeamSpeak with Jeeves and a couple of others, and I really rate Jeeves over to Coles. And at the end of that conversation, I found him to be a stand-up guy. Now I'm done.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate that. I'm sure, like Professor, a lot of us feel the same way. We lost friends to this whole ordeal, you know, people we thought we could trust, not saying we can't still trust them, but I know how you feel, Professor. All right, Sandra Quick wanted to say something after Seldrin there, so I'm going to give her that chance, and then we'll open the floor. She'll be typing down in Officer's Lounge number one.
I just want to say something real quick, now that everybody's gone, to what Sandra said. The only reason that hasn't been done before was because I personally felt it would cause undue issues in the fleet, because nothing's going to happen because of it. I didn't want people to start going, oh, start having problems with everybody. But if that would be the preferable thing for the majority of people, I don't see why it can't be initiated.
Roger. I've been requested by a couple of people that they'd like to give some statements to as well first, so I guess if nobody has any problems with that, getting into that first and then moving forward after that. Let's see. Randy, did you have anything?
Not at this moment.
I'd like to hear from Williams.
Roger Williams.
I am a better typer than speaker, so I would like to post what I've written into TeamSpeak chat.
Pretty clear.
Thanks, Williams. Well said. All right, Baba Kadush, do you have anything?
No, I'm good.
I guess comments, statements on Williams, I guess, first, before I move forward.
No?
I believe that changes are necessary. I mean, over the last week, I've stated a dozen times that those that don't learn from the past are destined to repeat it. And I do not want this repeated. So while I think change needs to take time and be subtle, it's definitely needed. Williams has laid out an outline for us. There we go.
I meant in the human form of that, by the way.
This fleet's not going to die. It's just a matter of how far back it's going to go before it rebuilds.
One real quick thing. Look at this list. I mean, seriously, they boast like they took 30, 35 people from us. A fraction of that is going to be contributed to ALTS. And we've got all these people on right now who obviously care enough about remaining here that they're here.
Here, here.
This isn't a small list. I mean, we're almost about to max out. What's the max? 25?
Yeah, but we need to remember that these people... to remember these people are here. They've seen all this. Some of us have seen everything that's been going on. And we need... I don't know how to say it.
We still need a lot of things to change, yes. I think that's what you're going with?
Yes.
We're here despite the problems that caused those others to leave, and we're here voicing it in hopes of change so that we can continue and grow even better than before, right?
One of the things I've heard voiced the most is that this is a monarchy or a dictatorship. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here with Jeremy and Omega looking me right in the eye, so to speak, and I'm not sure I want to say that, but it has kind of, at least it's been perceived that way. And perception means a lot. So that needs to change. whether it's the perception or the reality, it needs to change.
Cliff, one. There, somewhere I already got it.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I've been with the fleet for quite a long time, and like most of the old heads in this room, this is not my first mass exodus from the 106 that I've witnessed. This is actually the third time around. And they seem to get bigger, which with the passing of time. I think the professor hit on something very important. The primary reason we're all here is to have fun. And while rules are important and they do provide structure, I think somewhere in the process of providing that structure, we've lost sight of having fun. A lot of people here have talked about new rules and new policies, and a lot of them I agree with. But the one thing I haven't heard yet was transparency. I know a lot of people had complaints about the lack of transparency over the last couple of months, and I was wondering what's going to be done to improve upon that.
By transparency, you mean like what we discuss overall as a fleet, or, I mean, as in what's in the meetings, or like the command meetings we have every Sunday? I mean, elaborate on that a little bit more, because I've heard it too, so I mean, I'm not that I haven't heard it, I've heard it too, so.
Well, the weekly command meetings are great, and a lot of people would like to attend who can't because of real-life commitments. Maybe taking minutes in those meetings and posting those minutes, so for the people who want to take the time to read them and get fleet events, they can. Also, in the decision-making process, I know for one specific instance where, although it was minor and it had to do with the alteration of a fleet uniform, the said alteration was voted on by the fleet twice, and each time it was voted not to make a change. But that voting, both sets of votings were overridden, and the change was made summarily by fleet command, even though it was voted to leave the uniform as is. Now, that's not enough to cause a mass exodus or a riot in the fleet, but it did raise a couple of eyebrows. If we vote on something as a group or a unit, then that should be enforced and it should stay as such.
I'm trying to figure out where you're coming from with the overruled voting.
There were two polls posted to vote on changes to be made to, I believe it was the captain's uniform. And with each poll, it was voted to keep the uniform as is. And in a officers' meeting, it was decided by fleet command to go ahead and change the uniform anyway for, I guess it wasn't visually pleasing to some. And even though the change did make the uniform appear better, the fact that it was overridden after being voted on twice, that did raise an eyebrow.
Okay, well, it wasn't fleet command entirely. I know what you're talking about, but it wasn't fleet. It was pretty much everybody that was at that meeting, at least I think it was, that agreed on it afterwards after they'd actually seen the change. And the voting, I think, was intended for an overall change to the uniform, not one specific color. It was to change it up completely. So being that the voting was failed through to change it up completely, a minor change was made to the existing uniform, which was never really voted on except for during the officers' meeting on Sunday.
I respectfully disagree with you, Jeremy. It wasn't voted on the officers' meeting. You said, I'm going to go and make a change. And you had an officer model the change, and then the change was made.
I would have to agree with Elaine on that statement.
Yeah, but it was after majority of the people there said they liked it. So it's not that I didn't go forth and just say I'm going to do it. I let people offer up their opinions, and like I said, I remember the majority of them stating they liked it.
I understand that, sir, but you had six people, officers, in that meeting. where the entire fleet voted and the total number of votes was double the people in the room. So if you look at it with the bigger picture, and no disrespect to you, but basically you had a side meeting and you overrode the vote. Now, granted, the change was better. I agree with you on that. But it was populist voted on. And although it was a minor thing, for me that was winning.
Okay, well, I'm honestly, the way I intended it was the vote was for a complete change of the uniform. So, I mean, that's the way I intended it anyways, was a complete overhaul of the captain's uniform. So when that failed, I felt I had every right to go in and make a minor change to the existing uniform because the mass uniform, the entire uniform as in itself, was voted down to change. So,
I believe I remember that because I think I'm the one that modeled it.
Well, a lot of people have stated that we need to put votes on the website. When 80% of the fleet rarely ever visits the website. So putting a poll on the website is useless. You will not get a correct, accurate count of how many people are in favor of anything.
We had 11 people vote on that captain, the revisiting of the captain's uniform. 11 people in the fleet vote.
And I think it was 7 on the last trivia night, when should we hold it, poll.
That's true, but you still don't want to discount those votes, correct? And have a separate meeting where you make a change later.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to discredit you, Delenn. I'm just saying that there is a point of the fact that very few do vote. I do agree, though, otherwise.
All right, but what can we do to really make this smoother, to make it better, make it more fun?
I guess that's the million-dollar question, Professor.
I have some ideas.
Well, nothing is going to be decided right here, right now at this meeting. But we're just going to kick around some ideas.
Go ahead.
You know, from the peanut gallery all the way down here at the bottom of this list. You know, as somebody that's fairly new and has been jumping through hoops for the last month, let's call it a month, it can be very frustrating. I mean, I guess the entire academy process and just with trying to get people organized, I think there's a lot of hoops that people have to jump through. Before, and also you're asking people to jump through a lot of hoops, and ultimately they're not really given any kind of authority or really, it's hard to even feel like you have a voice when there's a very rigid structure. Voting might not be a terrible idea, especially if you're putting a poll out there and you're advertising it in game in an in-game email of, hey, there's a poll and here's a link to the poll. Now, you know, if you don't go vote, if you don't take part in the process, if you're giving people an option to take part in the process, and, you know, there are, let's say there's 100 people in the fleet and less than 50% of them vote, then command staff ought to be able to do what they, you know, do what they feel they must. But if you're getting a good consensus from everybody in a vote, then they should stick to that. And I think that should even go as far as restructuring the fleet, changing the command structure, all of that stuff. It should be voted on by everybody.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Will.
Go ahead, Will.
And Jeremy, you're right. I won't say that we're throwing out the military structure. What I will say is you're throwing back to a military structure where your leaders were elected, because that's how it used to be done pre the Civil War. A guy didn't get to be general unless it was voted on by everybody. And I'm not even saying, Jeremy, that you and Omega and Wraith, you guys are doing a bad job. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that, you know, if you want to make changes, that would be one way that you could do it. You can include more people in the process, or at least give them the opportunity to be included.
Okay, I've got two questions then. So, in the instance of voting, who determines what goes up on a vote? For an example, if let's throw the uniforms out there again. If somebody doesn't like a uniform, does that give them the entitlement to throw up a poll, get the fleet to vote on it, and just because the fleet voted on it, you know, that we have to change it? That's my first question.
Maybe we should have to sign petitions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's got to be some kind of process. Petitions is a perfect example. You don't get to just come up with a law. You get to propose something, and then the proposal gets, you know, that has to go in front of, I don't know, the entire, I mean, some kind of structure before it gets voted on. You know what I mean? I mean, like, there's a smaller group that says yes or no.
Okay. But well, go ahead.
One other thing, you know, I missed most of the shenanigans because I was gone all week. But I will say that as you're in TeamSpeak with people, there are certain people that can be taken way out of context. And Jeeves, you know, I'm going to call you out because you called yourself out, and you're one of those people. There have been a lot of times where I have not said something to you, and I've let it sit with myself, not because I'm mad at you in any way, shape, or form, but because I'm like, wow, I felt like that was out of line. And I sat with it for a while and realized that, you know what, you were kidding, but it didn't come across as you were kidding.
Like I said about perception.
Exactly. It's all about perception. And the perception is that, Jeeves, you're kind of a douche sometimes. It comes across as really, really hard, to the point to where there have been times where I've just gone, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and log off right now because I don't really need to listen to this anymore.
That goes back to how long you've been here.
Of course.
Having to know Jeeves. So
I
don't buy that at all.
I'm not saying that he is like that, okay? I'm not saying that he is. All I'm saying is that there's a perception out there, and I can see where that comes from, that he's can be kind of, rough to deal with. It took me a long time to figure out Jeeves.
Yeah, it took me till the other night when I actually raked him over to Coles. And then, I actually had a chance to talk to him a bit before I actually understood him.
By the way, what I posted is an inside joke between Jeeves and I. I always tell him he's negative.
I believe that there is that perception of he's always negative. There have been times where I've got a little piece of paper and I've gone, you know, you say black and he says white, and you say up and he says down, and I just write down every negative, you know what I mean? It's the way he is.
All right, well, I want to, you brought up the academy. There was a couple of things I wanted to touch on here, too, because you brought up the academy. I know the people that are trying to get through the academy, it was a work in progress. When Tripp had it, it was running very smooth. And, you know, we had an outline for it, but again, now the academy is vacant, and Omega and I are trying to adhere or take care of that department in turn and top of everything else. So we may look at something different with the academy for the time being to get, you know, get these hoops that you talk about out of the way so we, you know, we can do something to get you through it. Go ahead, who's ever keying up.
I have one statement about the academy, and I think it's a great idea. But there should be one tutorial when somebody comes new into the fleet that they should go through that just basically teaches them about the fleet. And then after that, they're an ensign. If they want to progress up into the fleet, into a wing, into a division or whatever, they have to go back into the academy and train to be in that division. But if they don't want to go into a division, that one day training, that's it.
That's a good idea to look into. I thought about two. See, the Foundry, we thought the Foundry would be really good for automation. I know it's very impersonal, but we tried to make it personal with, you know, creating characters, you know, at least the instructor is somebody who was in the fleet. Now that it's changed, but since they broke the Foundry, you can't edit your missions because they don't complete now since the last emergency patch. But academy is basically offline. But
and I would have to agree with Cliff's statement. Training should be by officers, not simply test passing.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. You know, instead of having the academy at all, maybe just the introduction mission to the fleet through the foundry, and the rest is done through the group they want to join. But I mean, big thing is we've been adamant about record keeping. Record keeping is going to be the best way we can keep track of everything. The personnel office was to be used just as that on the website. So, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I know it's paperwork, but in the end, it's going to keep us a lot more organized than just throwing somebody here. Oh, I want to change, throwing them here. At least this way we have a paper trail of everything. But
as somebody that doesn't have to do any paperwork, I don't really care what you do with the paperwork. You know what I mean? If you feel like you need to keep... If you need to keep records all you want.
To be honest, the paperwork's the only fun part in this game for me at this point.
Well, the reason
I... You're perfect for it.
The reason I bring up paperwork is because, I mean, it doesn't fall on just one person. I mean, if you're a captain, you have paperwork. If you're a commander, you have paperwork. Even the lieutenants down to reports have paperwork, you know, that they're supposed to be turning into their CO. At least that's the way we intended it. But, I mean, you know, like for an example, William, if you're a commander and you recruit somebody to the fleet, you know, copy and paste your recruitment speech with them in there and create a new post for them, you know, type sort of deal. So I mean, because I didn't do it, so I mean, I wouldn't be able to track you down for the paperwork because by that time you probably wouldn't even have it no more. That's why I'm saying, it. You know, if we all did our part on it, it would make it a lot less for everyone. I mean, for just one person.
Sure.
But, go ahead.
And somebody in chat, I don't know where it is. It's up there somewhere. Made mention of using JAG as a, you know, JAG could be a place where the entire fleet gets to vote on things.
I am
or
for
changing their mission.
Well, I mean, since our hats are off, you know, and everything else, and we're supposed to be. I mean, I'm for the voting. But I mean, and the petitions and everything. But there's a time and a place for it because I'm gonna bring this up because it's something that's been a touchy subject since the fleet was founded is the uniforms. Now, many suggestions have come in about the uniforms, many suggestions on how to change them, things like that. And since the uniforms were brought up as a touchy subject before, that they were used as an example, a simple little change like that caused some stir. I don't think uniforms at this point are an issue, but I know if something were to come up to where, like I said, it was allowed to be petitioned through JAG or whatever, uniforms would probably be the first on a lot of people's list. But I look at it this way, uniforms, when I go in, like right now, I can tell all who's ensigns. I can look across here, I can see who the commodores are. I can see who the commanders are, and I can see who the captains are. That's the purpose for the uniforms, quick visual reference. And that's one of the reasons why I've been adamant from day one about, you know, uniforms.
Forms.
And I won't say that I think that the uniforms are terrible. I mean, I've been on record for a long time of saying that I'm not a huge fan of our uniforms, but a uniform is a uniform, you know. I put it on and I follow by the rules. I was talking to Williams earlier today about, you know, casual Monday and how you had definitely stated that there was a day where you don't have to wear your uniform and it was Monday.
Yeah, unless you're attending official fleet business. I mean, and if that's something, and if that's something,
what do you want?
And if that's something we have to address is more flexibility during off time, you know, public areas is not really off time, but I mean, if we have to, do something more with, because, again, the uniforms get us recognized in the public, too. So, but, I mean, if it's something we have to address that way, you know, to allow uniforms more flexibility in them, I mean, if that's something that it takes in it as a piece of the pie of the whole, you know, it's something we'll definitely look into. I mean, we'll definitely do. I mean, it's not something that is, you know, set in stone type sort of deal. We can definitely change something.
I understand the point of the uniform. And I actually agree with you on it. When you wear it, you represent the fleet. And when others in, say, Earth Space Dock see a group of us standing together in uniform, they recognize the uniform and they wonder, well, who are they? And Do I want to be a part of that? We're basically a walking, you know, advertisement for the 106, which is fine. I like the idea of uniformed uniforms. But there are some people who put a lot of time and effort into their avatars and how they look, and they have tendencies that lean toward a more creative nature. So maybe even occasionally having something like a, you know, a fleet contest where people get to design, you know, a uniform. Not to supplement the fleet uniform, but just to give people a creative outlet to say, hey, this is what I've designed. Because, you know, there's a market for it when Cryptic spends so much time creating multiple uniforms for Stowe instead of working on other things.
Yeah, like and giving people extra fleet, you know, extra uniform slots. There's a reason people do that.
And
I know it's important to some people.
Oh, and I totally agree. I've got a lot of the purchased uniforms I myself would like to wear. I just don't because of my position. But I mean I'm all for creating battle uniforms. Now I do want to touch on this though. This is where one of the uniform problems stems from. We used to allow each group to have their own sanctioned uniform. I mean, that was their uniform for the groups back when we had Section 106. You know, however, it got to the point where it was more and more and more abused, where people, you know, just kind of went out and did their own thing. Then you had somebody that wasn't wearing the uniform that was supposed to be worn, and it was just a big mess. So if we go down that road of, you know, allowing a battle uniform, aka, you know, you can have you, or you know, like when the raid groups, for example, in a raid, they switch their battle uniform. You know, I mean, we have to know those boundaries and those lines when it comes to wearing what's expected of us when we wear the fleet uniform and what's expected of us when we wear our battle uniform, because we don't want to go down that same path of where it gets abused. That's pretty much why the uniform was made to represent everybody as a whole and as ranks, you know, because it got abused.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against, like I said, I'm not against wearing a uniform. I feel like there just needs to be more advertisement of there is a day of the week that you can wear whatever in the hell you want.
Well, it was something I had totally planned on implementing it, and it's just one of those things that fell through the cracks and never really got instated. So, I mean, it was to see how well it went over, and honestly, I didn't see too many people partaking in it because I did announce it in the Fleet News, and I think I even had it up in the message of the day, and I think I sent out a fleet mail. You know, through the in-game, you know, hey, casual Mondays, wear what you want, unless you're attending a, like, official business with your CO or something like that.
I may have not been around, or it may have been prior to my coming back, Jeremy, so, because I've never seen it.
Yeah, he did do it, and, now, personally, I love my captain's uniform, and I almost don't want to get promoted because I love it so much, but he did do that. And I never saw anybody actually do it, even though I saw a lot of people whining about not having the opportunity to do it.
Right. So really what you're talking about is, okay, so you've got that vocal minority that are going to whine about it. They're not going to take advantage of the thing. So what do you do to fix that? And I mean, that's a problem. And maybe if it is going to be casual Monday, then maybe we need some fleet-wide event, maybe not PvP, but we go all do a fleet action together and everybody just wears whatever they want, and it's all about just doing something fun together.
All right, SciTech is asking.
Excuse me, if you don't mind. These are all things that are not going to be decided here tonight. Just things we're throwing out and we're going to talk about, and things that are going to be resolved over the next few weeks. Okay, Jeremy, I'm sorry if I jumped in on you.
No, that's fine. I've just been poked a couple of times. I didn't see SciTech asking for the mic. Go ahead, SciTech.
Yeah.
Could everyone please review Cliff's statements in TeamSpeak chat?
I'm trying to find it. My chat messed up here a little bit. It just went up, and I can't figure out why. All right, SciTech, were you going to – do you have the mic? Well,
you can't hear this, Professor?
Now I can.
He's typing, and from what I can gather, one of his push-to-talk button is one of his keys he's using to type.
Yeah, well, the whole thing locked up on me for just a minute.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, TeamSpeak might be full.
Cliff, that wasn't you reposting. That was me copying your post and reposting it so people actually saw it again.
Okay, this is
so
bugged.
I think that's a great idea.
Do we have people needing to get on TeamSpeak? Because I guess we are full at 23, even though Omega and I are supposed to be holding the reserve spots. It's not giving them to us. So there's two reserve spots.
I don't know anybody that's trying to get on, but I'll ask him for the chat.
I'm in game two.
I don't see anybody in other rooms.
I'm going to be double-checking permissions here quick.
Good night, Quinn.
Good night.
Night, Quinn.
Night.
Night. Night, Quinn.
A little over a week ago, I said in the meeting, the Sunday meeting, that we needed to just lighten up a little bit, that I was about to have to boot half of my squad because of drop requirements and stuff. And that has also become a pretty big issue and something I'd like addressed.
Well, one thing I would like to bring up about while we're on drop reports, I think because seeing how commanders and captains, commodores, and up should have more requirements, I believe that their drop reports should be eliminated. After somebody has made it to commander, their dedication to the fleet is pretty sound, usually. And are automatically, no matter what, always making their drops. I would like to see drop reports gone no matter what, because there's no way of checking them.
Well, and we
brought that up in a meeting once.
We've gotten to the point where paperwork is almost an essential here in the fleet. It's definitely probably something we can do. It's doable to, you know, lieutenants are probably going to have the least amount of paperwork, so keep them for them. And the ones on up, you know, the commanders on up, you've got more of a response to your responsibility to your squad and, like you said, Williams, the fleet. It still would be nice to, you know, have the people check in with us, or at least their CO, let them know, hey, what's going on, whether it be, you know, weekly or whatnot. I mean, it doesn't have to be in the form of a written report, but vocalizing
a status
it.
Report.
Because we've all said it here tonight, and we've all agreed on it. Communication. If we don't have that communication, we're, you know, and that's how we attempted to create the communication was through the reports. And the standardized report form that I don't even know if anybody uses anymore, but we created that a long time ago because there was a lot of people that was going in depth in their reports, and it's like, this is all we really need from you. You know, just tell us this, this, and this. So we created that standardized report.
Well, I think basically standardized reports should be for drops and should only be given out to lieutenants who basically don't have that many requirements. But anything above them, just send it in a report to their commanding officer saying, this is what's going on in the fleet, in-game report.
And this stuff doesn't necessarily even have to come to us unless it's a problem or an issue. I mean, Omega and I, all we ever wanted was for the fleet to be able to run itself. Once we get to that point, you know, everything should be running smoothly where we can just sit back, you know, and only be involved if there's a necessity or a need. That's and I've seen that a couple of people have stated that tonight, pull fleet command out of the equation. It's not like we haven't been trying, but every time that we turn loose and cut loose, a bump shows up in the road. You know, so here we are back at square one again. So I mean, it's one of those things we've been trying. But in turn, Williams, I did see your post. I mean, you clarified it a little better here. But to pull fleet command completely out of the equation, you know, completely, that everybody, at least in your post, you said that. Here you said something a little different. But I don't believe, you know, that at this point, I mean, under the current structure, fleet command should be pulled out completely. There should always be, you know, but it should be done through the chain of command, too, you know. We should go to our commodores or our vice admirals. Our vice admiral should pass that on down, and the exact same in the opposite direction. You know, that's the way it was intended to work. Some people even Have a good night if you are. I see Sonder type night, so.
Night, Uncle Ricky.
I think Zeus left already.
Oh, yeah. Did he?
No, actually, tonight has been just a voice for everybody. I think there's a lot of issues that over the next coming weeks we're going to have to address. It's going to take a lot of insight from a lot of people.
What issues are, I mean, do we need to still go over? I mean, that's what this entire conversation for tonight is about. I mean, personally,
yeah, but, I mean, what have we actually resolved? We know that we need more communication. So how do we go about that?
Okay, so what I'd like you guys to do at this point is tell us what you... I mean, some immediate changes that should be implemented in the next few days to a week, you know, no longer than a week. I mean, like, obviously communication, ways to improve our communication. But that's what I think we should right now here in this point, immediate issues that are the most of concern.
Here's something that I'd like to see the fleet implement. We've got a 3-character limit and exclusivity to 106. I agree with the exclusivity, but as an MMO player from other venues, we need to have a holding fleet or an alternate fleet. So that, you know, you take a lot of this complaint about the, you know, exclusivity out of the fact, out of it.
Okay, I know where you're coming from. Let me tell you what we intended on that too. With everybody getting a salary, and let's say for an example, you do have the MMO player that has 10 characters, wants to bring all 10 characters in. It was just, we looked on it as a strain on the bank because we allowed ensigns to pull out 25,000 credits. So if you've got somebody that has 10 alts, and they put all 10 alts in here, each one of those alts can pull out 25,000. That was pretty much the main reason for only 3.
Now, I have a statement on that, if I can say. I believe that the ensigns should get a limited to barely any salary whatsoever. And that, I think, would allow more people to be able to bring alts into the fleet if they wanted to. Like, I have 3 other characters that I would like to bring into the fleet, but can't because I'm limited to 3.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, we had fully intended on reaching the 500 max active players. So when Cryptic limits us to 500 players, and I'm just using this as an example again, but you have the MMO player that has 10 players, and you get, let's say for example, you get 5 of those players in there. That's 50 characters between 2 players, or 50 characters between 5 players. So I don't know if we're ever going to hit that 500 total active players. You know, because I've seen many fleets. Oh, we've hit our 500 max limit, but how many of those members are active? How many of those members are alts? You know, so that was pretty much why we'd done that too. So, but I mean, all these things, that's doable too. I mean, like the main reason is salaries. But if we revisit the salaries and pull salaries or limit salaries to ensigns, it wouldn't be a problem. And I guess the other thing we could look at, too, is if, you know, if you want to bring in 10 characters, for an example, but we hit our 500 max limit, would people be willing to remove alts to allow brand new fresh players that don't have alts or anything in our fleet in the fleet?
Yes, Jeremy. That's why my suggestion is that instead of trying to bring more alts in, just create a holding fleet, call it 106 alts, and let people hold their alts in that fleet. And then you don't have the extra strain. You don't damn salaries in that fleet. They're just there. They're still representing 106, but they're on an alternate fleet.
Ah, I gotcha.
Well, I have an idea that Sandra has tried to do quite often is anybody that has 3 alts or already is in the fleet, invite them to the 106th fleet chat. So if they're on an alt, they're still involved with the 106, but they're on an alt, and they can still chat with everyone.
I think that
should become a, I don't know, tutorial, I guess, of how to invite people to that chat, or let anybody invite anyone that's in the fleet to that chat.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that too. But that was the main reason that chat channel was created, for communication between the KDF and the Fed fleet. I mean, you can definitely, I mean, once you're in it, you're in it. I mean, unless you leave, then you get removed from it. But I mean, it's one of those things where but I do like the alternate fleets, because one of the things, two people recently that wanted to join, had storage fleets. Well, you know, our requirement again is exclusivity. So, you know, those fleets kind of fit under that clause of exclusive, because for one, how do you know they're empty? For two, you know, but creating maybe one or two more extra fleets with the 106 name in it, and use it as not only a storage for alternates, but a storage for, you know, these people that want bank storage and stuff.
Yeah, but doing a storage fleet, I mean, okay, if I have an alt that has a fleet and I am the only person in that fleet, I have an entire fleet bank that I can store in. But when you add people, keep on adding 20, 30 people that are all stored in the same bank, that storage bank is pretty much useless now.
True. But I still do like the idea